So this morning, we also want to thank Ron Bell for being with us this morning and liturgically painting. Can we give him a round of applause? Is that okay? If you've been with us, he's been doing this for every week in Advent, so it's been really, really awesome to have him with us, and we're thankful for how he uses and shares his gifts with us in worship. So one of the things as a pastor, I really, really make sure to take the time to still be in a small group. So the particular small group I'm with, we meet on Zoom, and so because of everyone's busy schedules, we've gotten ahead in our reading, so we actually just finished our study for Advent. And we have read the book, The Heart That Grew Three Sizes, by Matt Rawl, who is a United Methodist pastor. And so there is a picture of the cover. So in this book, Pastor Matt has been talking us through the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas, and so telling us about how each of the different aspects of the story can really resonate with our faith. And so if you are unfamiliar or if you need a refresher, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is a book written by Dr. Seuss. So it's the story of a Grinch who lives in a small town. He lives just on the outside of town, and the book tells us that his heart was two sizes too small. And so this Grinch is so angry at the residents of this little town called Hoos for celebrating Christmas. And so the Grinch gets the idea that, well, he is just going to steal Christmas from the Hoos. He takes away all the presents, all the decorations, all the trees, every last little bit of food they had prepared for Christmas morning. He takes all of it. And so at the climax of the story, it's Christmas Day, and the Grinch is expecting to hear moaning and wailing and gnashing of teeth down in Whoville, the little town. But instead, he hears singing. He hears singing. The Hoos are still celebrating Christmas. So this touches his heart so much that it grew three sizes. And so he returns to town, a changed Grinch. He returns all the stuff that he stole, says he was sorry, and he ends up sitting down to Christmas dinner with the Hoos, who place him at none other than the head of the Christmas table. And so I really loved this story as a kid. And so every time I read through it, I assumed that the point of the story was that about Christmas isn't about stuff, but it's about being thankful and generous and being with our family. But the author of this book, Pastor Matt, he challenges that idea. He says that that is one aspect of the story, but the book also has a second meaning. It is also about reconciliation. It's about this whole amazing and radical idea that the Hoos who welcomed the Grinch, who did them wrong, stole absolutely everything, that these Hoos, after the Grinch admitted he was wrong, returned everything that he had stolen, he was not only invited to dinner, which was huge, but he was given the seat of honor at the very head of the table. And so if we think of that, that's pretty radical, pretty countercultural, pretty mind-blowing stuff. Because when we think about it, that's not the way that we operate. I mean, if someone were to break into one of our homes, steal absolutely everything from us on Christmas Eve, even if the next day they said they were sorry and they returned everything, would we invite them in to dinner? I feel like maybe if we were being really generous, if the Christmas Eve service really touched our soul the night before, we might give them a slice of pie or a plate to go. But invite them into the table, that's crazy. Because forgiveness and reconciliation is so hard. As our sermon title is for this morning, it is so scandalous. And so when we look at our own lives, when we look at our relationship with God or even the church, a lot of times we take the way we view our own reluctance to forgive and on our own how hard reconciliation is, and we translate that all into our faith. We translate it all into our relationship with God, and we translate it all even into our relationship with the church. We think that God can't possibly fully love us or forgive us, that we can't fully be reconciled with God because of our past. That radical instant reconciliation that the Grinch got, well, that's just the stuff of fairy tales and children's books. That can't really be the way that God operates in real life. And so if we think about how monumental that feeling can be for us or be for a person, it's insurmountable. It can be an obstacle that seems so high to overcome, something that is just too hard to do. Because we have something in our past, because we have some personality flaw we are still working out, because we have some brokenness we are still working through. And so when we think about how big that feeling feels, well, then that helps put our scripture passage for this morning in a lot better context. We understand why Pastor Mike Slaughter, who is the author of this book, Christmas is Not Your Birthday, we understand better why he uses this extreme example to combat this extreme and impossible feeling of forgiveness. So I really struggled, and I felt better that Pastor Andy said at the previous service, he really struggled too with what translation of this was best to use. The most delicate way to put this while still being clear and getting the point. So I settled on the Message translation. And so here it is, Hosea chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. Then God ordered me, Hosea, start all over, love your wife, Gomer, again. Your wife who's in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife. Right? Love her the way that I, God, love the Israelite people, even as they flirt and they party with every god that takes their fancy. I did it. I paid good money to get her back. It cost me the price of a slave. And so I told her, from now on, you're living with me, and I am living with you. And so the people of Israel are going to live a long time, stripped of security and protection, without religion and comfort, godless and prayerless. But in time, they'll come back, these Israelites. They'll come back looking for their God and their David King. They'll come back chastened to reverence before God and his good gifts. Ready for the end of the story of his love. So again, this scripture passage is an extreme example of radical love, but we have to put it in the context of our sermon series and what was going on in this passage. It's an extreme example to illustrate for us just how radical and reckless God's love for us is. So hear me out when this is not the right way prescription for how we talk about women. It's not the right way a prescription of how we are in our relationships. Again, this is not a blanket prescription for your relationship. That will not end well, I promise. But our scripture passage today is a conversation that God is having with this poor little prophet, Hosea. So Hosea was preaching to the nation of Israel who had gone astray. They were supposed to be the people of God, but they were not following God's commandments. And so in his personal life, Hosea had a wife named Gomer who was, well, cheating on him. And so in this particular instance, God tells the prophet Hosea to forgive his wife and bring her back home. Do whatever it takes to bring her back home. And so here is the big thing. The reason why God wants Hosea to do this radical and reckless thing is to illustrate how radical and reckless God's love for the nation of Israel is. So God compares the relationship of God and Israel just even to this relationship of Hosea and Homer. And so the sad truth is that this is not an unfair comparison. You know, if you were to read the entire Hebrew Bible from Genesis to Malachi, which I recommend so you get this nice narrative overview of what's going on in Scripture, but if you read through all those books, you begin to notice a pattern. You notice this pattern that repeats over and over again all through this narrative, that over thousands of years and over countless generations. So God calls the nation of Israel The Israel nation is thankful. They're glad for the call. They obey. Everything's great and wonderful until the nation of Israel messes up. They always at some point mess up. They forget God. They go worship other gods. They forget the poor and the powerless. The list always goes on. And so then their nation always falls into disarray because of their actions. Until finally, they always realize, wow, we did it wrong. Oh, God, we're sorry. And God restores that relationship with them, calls them to a new and a better way of living. And they do it for a little while until the whole cycle starts over again. And so, again, that goes such a long way over so many generations. God makes this extreme example in the book of Hosea because of this multi-generational cycle of sidestepping God's commandments, sidestepping this relationship that the nation of Israel had done time and time and time again. And so if you think about it, if it were you or me in Hosea's shoes, or even in God's shoes, what would we do? What would our natural response be? Would we naturally lean toward forgiveness and reconciliation and reckless love? Well, that is what the nation of Israel exactly got. God gave them, in response to all this disobedience and all this brokenness, love. One of the other reasons why I picked the Message translation was that I love how it translates the end of verse 5 for us. It says that the Israelites will be ready for the end of the story of his love, talking about God's love. And so I looked a little bit further into this. So in the Hebrew, this verse ends with the word akharith. Sorry, I didn't get my guttural there. Akharith. There we go. Which is a prophetic word which means the end of time. But what Eugene Peterson does, who is the chief scholar behind the Message, he is a pastor and an author and a scholar. So he reminds us that at the end, it all comes down to God's love. So whether we're talking about the end of time, what the meaning of life is, what God calls us to do, what God's relationship with us is, we are reminded that in the end, it all comes down to the story of God's love. And I love just how beautiful that is. And so that means for us, one major take-home point of this message today is that God's radical love is for everyone. God's radical love is for everyone. Over and over again through Scripture, God uses these extreme examples like Hosea and his cheating wife Gomer, like the prodigal son in the Gospels. And all of these remind us of just how deep the love and the forgiveness of God is. And so maybe that is a message that you need to hear today. Maybe you feel like God does not or could not love you. Maybe you feel like God couldn't get past your anger issues, that mistake you made in the past, that addiction or other hang-up you're struggling with. Or maybe you don't know if God could really love you in the ups and downs of your own mental health struggles. So maybe you just need to be reminded of that radical love. Be reminded of how scandalous God's love is for you, how scandalous it is that God humbled himself in a tiny, tiny baby, born in a simple, lowly manger to a simple life just to be with us, just to show us love. And so while on the one hand, we can and we should hold on to that love of God, we should hold on to that comfort and hope that that brings us, but we also remember that there's something that that love calls us to do. We hold on to that in one hand and we remember in our other hand what the call of God's reckless love is for us today. We have to remember in all these radical examples, in the nation of Israel, in the story of Gomer, in the prodigal son, in all these things, we are the nation of Israel. We are Gomer. We are the prodigal son. And so just as we're called into this new way of living and following God, we are also called to reflect God's scandalous love out in the world. That is what we are called to do too. And so for us in the 11 Contemporary Service, I have really enjoyed how it has worked out where you all text in things that go with the sermon, and they make the most beautiful benedictions, better than what I could come up with on my own. So we are going to continue that. So there is the number to text, 863-880-1112, and we'll just leave that up for you all to see for a while. And so what I want you all to text in is, how can we reflect God's love during this season? How can we reflect God's love during this season of Advent? So even as we are in a much better place with the pandemic than we were last year, we know our world is still hurting. And so the world needs regular Christians just like you and just like me to be reflections of God's radical love in the world. We know that we still have children and people and families, both in our community and even around the world, living in poverty. We also know that we still have national strife. We have division and discrimination and prejudice and injustice. And we know we can look on the news and see that there's violence and hurt and brokenness and even rumors of war. And so that can be a lot. And so we know that we can't all fix this in a day, but we can remember that we are called to be God's radical love in any way that we can. We can remember that we can be called to make this holiday season less about ourselves, less about getting the number of presents for us, and more about giving to others. More about giving of our time or our funds to the Salvation Army to house homeless families here in our community. Supporting Peace River to give comfort and hope to those in great need, and even getting children out of those generational cycles of poverty abroad through Zoe and Powers. And those are just three small examples of the many, many ways you can be a reflection of God's love in our world. We can even look at it personally. We can remember that peace on earth begins with us. And we can do everything in our power to combat division, combat discrimination, prejudice, and injustice, even if it's just within our own circle of influence. So the problems in our world today may be radical. They may seem extreme and insurmountable. But our scripture passage today reminds us, even if these problems seem extreme, so is the love of God. While our hurts and hang-ups may be deep, so is God's love. While our pain and injustice we see may be so widespread, so is God's love. So may we all be both receivers and reflectors of God's scandalous love in the world. Let's close in prayer together. God of love, we thank you for the scandalous love you have first shown to us. We thank you that while we may feel unlovable, your love for us is deeper and wider than we could ever imagine. So we ask you this day, O Lord, to help us be reflectors of your love. Help us be reflectors of your radical, world-changing love. For the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Thank you all for again sharing in a beautiful benediction this day. So we got a lot of good responses, a lot of showing love to those who we may not think to show love to, remembering that the image of God and the love of God is inherent in all people, even those that we may not think about. Also got a recommendation to sing those Christmas carols to those who need it most, to let them know that they are not forgotten and they are loved. And multiple responses on forgiveness, of sharing God's love and how God has first forgiven us to extend forgiveness to another, even when that may be difficult or seem impossible. But all these and so many more are ways that we can be reflectors of God's love. So for the benediction, friends, know that you are recklessly and radically loved by God, and may you go forth to recklessly and radically love God's world in response. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.